The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. Second hour is live, and Rob is up next in Dallas. Rob, thank you, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
It is great. Thank you.
Paul, let me just say, I got a couple of things. First of all, let me just say, everybody's talking about how your show used to be one way and all this kind of stuff. All I know is you got a great show, Paul. I don't know where it used to be back in the day, but today you have a pretty good show to where the common man can call in and voice his opinion. And you, whatever their opinion is, you take no role either way. You just let them voice their opinion. My question is this. Who runs college football? Is there not someone who can just sit there and make the decision and just say, okay, we're not going to do this because we cannot guarantee the protection of these kids' lives, so it's not worth their lives to do this? Is there not one person who could make that decision?
You mean in terms of the entire college football world?
Yes, sir.
No, there isn't. There's nobody in charge of college football.
Wow, that may be the problem. There is not one person who can make a decision. But one more thing, Paul. I noticed you have a lot of older callers, and I got to say, the first time I heard your show was a couple of years ago when I think her name was Phyllis and Munger. She was on the phone going off on Colin. Colin Cowherd and all that fun stuff. I don't know if you remember that, but is there any way that you can kind of give like a memoriam for past callers who've gone on to glory to kind of honor them and some of their best calls and all that kind of fun stuff? Paul, you have a great show, man, and I appreciate it. And it's the best 42 minutes ever spent on hold, and you have a great day, sir.
Well, thank you very much. We get a lot of criticism these days, so your call has warmed our hearts. Rob, thank you. You be well, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
Goodbye. That's a great call. That was really fun. Let's check in with Keith next in Georgia. Hey, Keith, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, first-time caller, huge-time fan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I was going to ask you a question about if we all wear a mask at the games, would it help? But, you know, that's a gone-out-the-window kind of question. So, a few things. First of all, I hate when politics and sports get involved. It just complicates things. You know, we watch sports to get away from all the everyday life of politics and this and that. But being an election year and everything going on, it's hard to avoid. So, my second thing is I'm a Georgia fan, and the SEC, if we do not play this season, they could probably lose the money and regain it back out of all the conferences in the country because it's just football down here. My first thing is Georgia, we know, is a moneymaker in Athens. Alabama, that's the moneymaker behind that school, and Alabama and so forth, so forth. What school do you think would hurt the most in the ACC if we don't have a season? And my second thing is, delaying the season, like you said earlier, Paul, you know, look at all faucets. I mean, you know, last resorts. If we're going to play these conference games, let's wait another month because most of us don't play conference games till, you know, late September, early October. So what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think at some point you have to make a determination, but you don't have to make it today. And I think that's why the SEC simply decided yesterday that they'll see what happens. And by the way, I still don't understand, other than being a reaction to the Ivy League canceling football, why the Big Ten last week had to make the announcement on the day that it did. It really didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, so early.
Yeah, I mean, everyone understands the rationale, and I think the SEC likely will play conference only. They may have an outlier, they may not, but I think it's absurd to have these conversations written in stone yet, since the season could start on September 15th, October 1st. October 15th, or it may never start. But it's not starting any earlier than mid-September, I don't think.
Well, I would be happy with that. Like I said, like you said, exhaust every opportunity we can to. You know, I agree. We got to keep everybody safe. I get it.
Yeah, I think the reality of the situation is we're in a really bad time at the moment, And I think anyone who thinks these numbers are magically going to change is wrong. But it could, maybe in a month from now, things are going to be better. I think the real problems that universities have is that they have to figure out what to do with school. And I think that's why most of them are saying mostly we're going to start this way, we'll go to that way, whatever way. But college football is a little bit different.
Well, I hate it for some of the SEC schools that depend on football for their money to support the programs, because, like I said, Georgia, they got theirs with the football, Alabama. I mean, I hate to bring them up, like Vanderbilt, Missouri, they might need football games to help.
Well, let me say, I don't think there's a single university in the SEC that would go broke without football. Now, there are a lot of athletic departments that could go broke without football. That's really the difference. The universities are in really good shape, most of them at least. Because of endowments and operating costs. Hey, thank you very much for your call. It was interesting.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
And it's always great to hear from you. Eddie is in Florida, and you're on the air. Hello, Eddie.
I got to get
this call. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Take care.
Hey, Paul. Hello, Paul.
Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Eddie, we're doing great.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to make a couple of points. You had Timothy from Austin call the other day, right?
Yes, and, he called yesterday.
Yeah, man, and it just blew me away how quickly that Christian Pitbull you got that lived in Tuscaloosa, man, just destroyed my man. And I just thought it was sad because the young fella only just spoke his mind. He just spoke what he thought was happening, and I kind of sort of agree with him a little bit. I'm not going to say all Caucasian guys, but it's a great percentage of being that it is political, it's a great percentage of Caucasian guys that know what they're doing to, slow the process of this football season that we're trying to get in. So, I understand Jim, man. I understand his pitch and all that stuff, Paul, but... we just need to be kind to people, and I was just disappointed that he attacked a man like that. But that's good. And you had another caller, Dino from Phoenix, and you're just talking about Black Lives Matter. Paul, I don't know why people are so afraid of that slogan. It's like we can't have anything now. I mean, you say Black Lives Matter, that people don't want us to have that slogan. We try to take a knee. They don't want us to take a knee, but let me explain to all my people that's listening out there. Let's be clear when we say Black Lives Matter. We never say it, Paul, that only Black Lives Matter. That was somebody else who came up with that. But in all truth, we know that all lives matter. We supported your lives throughout history. Now we need you to help us with Black Lives Matter, the black lives that are in danger. That is the only thing we're saying, Paul. So we're not saying that, the rest of the lives don't matter. All lives matter. But just wanted to...
Yeah, you raise a really good point, my ears, which have antennas on them anyway, really went up every time I heard that. It's... Just yeah. Accept what's important to people, and if you can't accept it, then move on.
Yeah, and that's the way I see it, Paul. And I hope we get a football season... in this year, but I am aware of all of this coronavirus, and people need to understand that this coronavirus affects minorities way worse than it affects everybody.
It does. I had somebody today ask me, do you really think this is serious? And I'm like going, I don't even know how to answer that question. But you just pointed out something. Multi-generational families, minorities, sadly, they are being affected more than the rest of us, so to speak, and that's a concern to the public health officials. It has to be.
It truly is, and it's one of my concerns, Paul. But like I say, I really hope we play, because I really wanted to see Bama beat down Georgia again this year. And I don't know if that's going to happen, Paul. But anyway, Paul, thanks for taking my time.
Hey, thank you very much, Eddie.
Your show and roll damn time, Paul.
Great to hear from you. It was cool. How about Scott in Mississippi? Scott, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are we doing today, Paul?
Scott, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I think you can remember me. I'm the one that told you about standing in line with my five-year-old, and we ran across Coach Cal, and he signed my son's hat. And
oh, yeah,
Coach
I Cal, sure do.
Yeah, he asked him who his favorite basketball player was, and he told him Troy Aikman. But, yeah, I'm that guy. But anyway, we're doing a demo house. I work for a builder, and he buys big monster houses and tears half of it down or whatever. Long story. So they're demoing this house, South Angela Estate, White Station right there, parallel with Walnut Grove. Now, I know this strikes home with you, you know, parallel with Walnut Grove, one block over. And so the guys are demoing. They're coming out with plastic bags and stuff of things out of the attic. And imprinted on the side, I noticed this cat that was carrying one, and it was a White Station 1973 yearbook. And my radar went up just instantly. I was like, hey, give me that. And I took it, found you, and I just wanted to hit you up. Do you have one physically? Can I send it to you?
No, I don't have one.
Can I please send it to you then? Because I saw it, and I'm at
Well, thank you. That is,
it is awesome.
Incredibly kind. I have my college yearbook, but I do not have a high school yearbook. I tell you what, Scott, let me put you on hold with Dan, and he can figure this out.
Well, it would brighten me up if I could make your day in any kind of way. I imagine if it were me, I would just fall out for it. But
I do remember the picture, and I remember that I was so good looking back then. It was scary. Is that accurate?
I had you confused for a guy two dudes over, and they're like, "No, this is Paul." Oh, okay. I didn't recognize you. You were a strapping man.
I still remember that. I still remember taking the picture, and I was never really happy with it. I thought my hair was a little bit out of sorts. For those who have never seen pictures of that era, I mean, I had some pretty serious hair.
Oh yeah, you were a good-looking man. But anyway, I just had to get at you.
If I had only kept that hair, Scott, there's no telling. I could have made it. I could have made it big.
Yeah, well, you're doing perfectly fine, believe me, and everybody really appreciates what you do.
Let me put you on hold, and we may have to give Dan my address, because the one that will get to me, but I can't thank you enough. That is incredibly nice of you. We'll take a break. Much more to come as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. We appreciate all of you being here. And Pete Thamel joining us later on in the 6 o'clock hour. He wrote a really interesting column on Yahoo about the mountain of doubt that currently permeates the college football world. Speaking of that, Rick Haro, our sports business expert, joining us. And Rick, we talked to you a week ago, right as your school and your league, Harvard and the Ivy League, were shutting football down for the year. Since then, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have announced conference only. First of all, do you think the Ivy coming out had a trickle-down effect on the other two leagues?
Just like it did coming out of March Madness. And so before I even continue, did you just introduce me as a mountain of doubt? Is that what you just said?
I had it written incorrectly, so yeah. I mean, that's your new name.
That's what I went to law school for. I appreciate that. Well, this mountain of doubt says that the college football season is more in doubt than ever. And remember what we said last week, that every league, including colleges, are giving them the option of rolling cancellations on a week-by-week basis as much as possible. So the conferences that are only doing conference games, the only people that get definitively bad news right now are the, let's call them, the pigeon games, you know, your buddies at Samford, at UT Chattanooga, and all those schools that used to have the score run up as compared to a $250,000 to a $1.25 million payday. They'll be deferred. The ADs are going to say, we're going to talk to you about games 5-6 years from now, and you'll be made whole later. The point is, that we're compressing the schedule within which we can make some decisions. And I'm afraid, my friend, we're running out of time.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because Greg Sankey was here last night, the SEC commissioner, and he's, you know, he said the window has narrowed. They put off a decision. I'm curious, as someone who has consulted literally every professional sports league in the country and have relationships with colleges and leagues all over this land, what do you think is going on at meetings right now? They had one yesterday where all 14 ADs sat down. I mean, you've been in these meetings before. What do you think happened?
Well, see, the usual meetings I've been in are the moving target is a little less mobile, and you have differences of opinion, but there is only one or two set of facts that can govern the ultimate result. Here, unfortunately, you have the best minds in each conference meeting every week to discuss and disagree a bunch of parameters that may change daily. And all you can do as a leader is lay out the best circumstances on that day, understanding it may change the following week. It is terribly frustrating, but as I continue to say, it beats the alternative, which is shutting down sports early, take no TV revenue, have everybody start watching Gilligan's Island again and not come out of it.
I'm interested, you said something about revenue. To say the least, the networks are involved in all this, maybe from a little bit of a distance, but what do you think those conversations are like right now between the Big Ten and Fox and ESPN and everyone else who have these same issues and don't really know what the future looks like?
Well, you and I both know we'd like to think that they're indirect, but this year the television executives are either in the room or one very quick speed dial phone call away, because that's where the bank is for all of these sports today. The good news is the bank is more full than ever because we're armed with streaming numbers and ratings numbers that are really good. We haven't tested it yet because we've had no live sports and people are inside. But I think advertisers are taking notice with the tremendous ratings, even with ordinarily pedestrian golf tournaments and regular soccer. And so the networks have more credibility right now. The fans, we'd love to have fans. We understand that's probably not going to happen, to be honest about it. And so the issue is, how do the television networks make a commitment to quantify whether 6 games is enough, 7 games is enough, 9 games is enough? I mentioned yesterday, for the first time, kind of floated, maybe you and I talked about it before, but how about a one-time-only 16-game Division I playoff to make some significant dollars over the holidays? What about that?
That makes a lot of sense. By the way, before you go, a quick snapshot on everything else and how important is the NBA, is Major League Baseball, and wherever the NFL is, I'm not really sure. How do all those play into this, the college puzzle?
Ironically, it probably has some of the exact same considerations. You know, how do you keep the bubble broadly defined, 32 bubbles in baseball and 32 bubbles transferred to stadiums after training in football, and on and on. How do you keep it safe with the inevitable decision that many of your players will be tested positive? Now, unlike NBA, where they don't play defense, obviously, contact sports mean if you're tested positive, it's pretty sure that others will be also tested positive. And then do you quarantine? How do you shut it down? I think, as we said, the teams that win the championships this year in football, baseball, basketball, and hockey, unfortunately, might be the ones less inflicted with coronavirus, which would be a tragedy, but again, better than nothing.
Rick Hurl, thank you. We'll see you next week, Rick. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.
Great stuff. We'll take a break. More guests to come as we continue here on a Tuesday afternoon. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Glad all of you are here. Been a busy one already. Pete Thamel a little bit later on. We'll head to Tennessee in the next hour. Find out what's happening there. Let's get back to the calls here. And love to hear from all of you. And Mike is in New Jersey. Mike, thank you. Good afternoon. Mike, you there?
Paul?
Yeah,
Paul,
go right ahead. I'm sorry. Yes, I can.
Sorry. I had called about a month ago, and I was kind of extolling the virtues of that the kid shouldn't be paid because the scholarship is the payment. But I got to be honest with you. Where is the NCAA right now in terms of them trying to play any kind of fall sports with the pandemic? Are they're completely absent in all the discussions. Conferences are coming up with their own plans. Let me ask you a question. How can you possibly play any sports this fall, considering the rate of transmission and the very nature of 80 guys in a locker room, week in, week out?
Well, let me answer the first part. The NCAA is hiding in a fallout shelter somewhere in Idaho. They have not been seen or heard from in months. As far as the second part of your question, I think it's a legitimate one. It's one of the subjects that we'll talk to Pete Thamel about, because in his latest piece for Yahoo, he talks to athletic directors and football coaches who echo the same sentiment, which is interesting how, you know, privately, what people are saying publicly, nobody is coming close to that. Nobody will say anything publicly other than we're hopeful, we're optimistic, you know, all the usual qualifiers that by now we're getting used to.
They should really call it for what it is. This is our money grab. We need our money, and we're going to get it any way we can. And if we put kids at harm's way, or coaches, you know, let's face it, kids statistically are less likely to have very poor outcomes when they're infected. I have two daughters, both in their 20s, both had it, very mild symptoms, no big deal. When you get around these larger programs, you got coaches in their late 60s, 70s, you know, by very nature, they're in a compromised community. So the fact that the NCAA is nowhere to be found once again substantiates they're a farce. They don't have the student athlete in their best interest. They have the revenue stream and their best interest. And that, to me, is what makes them a farce. They have no more say than I do as a casual fan of college athletics. And maybe it's time to have a reboot. Maybe coaches can't make $10 million this year, right? You can't play it. You can't get the revenue from the media. Well, guess what, Dabo and Nick? You're only going to make $1 million this year. You know, no one talks about that, do they?
No, they don't. I understand administrators have to talk a good game, but, you know, I've said this a long time, and I'll say it again. This is a billion-dollar sport, and we are going to find out in the next few weeks whether the safety and well-being of the athletes is paramount. It's really that simple, and that's not a political statement. That's just the truth. And if they decide to have football, and that's to be determined. How are they going to do it safely? That is the question that I have yet to hear anyone answer.
Because there is no answer. Because you can't do it safely. The NBA can't put a whole bunch of guys in a bubble and do it with all that revenue. Yet 120 Division I football programs, just strictly talking football.
Well, but that's why you're seeing already the junior colleges, the Patriot, the Ivy. I mean, they're bailing out because they don't think it's worth the effort. Morehouse was the first one, and there will be more. I think there'll be Power Five schools in due time. We're going to say they can't play. There may or may not be the leagues who say that, but this next two or three weeks. If you're in the college football platform, don't take a vacation. We are about to watch one of the most extraordinary and important periods we've ever had.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm going to be disappointed when the season doesn't come to fruition, but unfortunately, I'm looking at it realistically. Whatever they start, I just don't see how it can be finished. And I think the optics for all the universities, it would be, let's do the right thing. Let's put the money aside. Let's put the student athlete first. Let's work out a system where kids continue to go to school either remotely or in person. They don't lose scholarships. They can extend their career if they choose to be, right? They can be a six-year senior without a red shirt. Unfortunately, Paul, I don't see it happening, and that's a real disappointment. I appreciate your time.
Mike, thank you. Always good to hear from you. You be well in Jersey, which is one of the places in the country that has gotten a lot better. D is up next in Georgia. D, thanks. Great to hear from you.
Hey, Paul. I'm really getting disgusted, Paul. A guy called in from Georgia, and all of a sudden he come up with these miraculous numbers out of Jacksonville that instead of being 90-something positive, it dropped all the way down to 9-6. Now, let's just be honest. The Republicans been getting a lot of grief about coming to Jacksonville, and the corona is going outrageous in Florida. All of a sudden, this miraculous information is out there that, Jacksonville's numbers are wrong. Now, that's just too ironic. Think about it. Somebody's trying to pad the numbers. Sure, there are some errors. There's errors basically in everything. But to drop from 99 or 90 down to single digits, all of a sudden, no, there's no fear. All Republicans can come. You don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to do anything. It's just outrageous. I don't think city officials would make that much. I mean, the whole country is making up stuff. It's just outrageous what some of these people will do and the theories they push just to have their way. It's ridiculous, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. Ramsey, you're on the air, and you are next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in, man. I'm just like, just probably like a lot of people, and, you know, my hope's running out on the college football season, and I'm just like wondering how much longer can we just keep hiding in the closet and be scared of this virus. I mean, nobody wants to talk about the death rate. You know, that's the important thing to me. Yeah, we're going to get sick. It happens that people get the flu. Older people die from the flu. I mean, it's just the ugly part of life. But what are we going to do, hide for the next 10 years till there's a vaccine? Who knows if there'll ever be a vaccine? So at some point, you got to go out and live your life. I've been working through this whole thing. I haven't been sick, thank God. I know it's real. I know what's out there. I know people are dying. I know it's brutal. But at some point, you gotta get on with life, man.
Ramsey, like, I'm curious about something here. Why do you think? And maybe I know the answer. Maybe I don't. Why do you think so many people are reacting the way they are?
Paul, I don't know, man. This country's going crazy. And to be honest, after November 4th, all this racism will go away. All this coronavirus paranoia will go away. It's all media-driven. It's all media-pushed. Just like in 2016, ask yourself this. Remember in the summer of 2016 when all this racism, the media started to pay attention to it and push their theories. And all of a sudden after the election, it went away. And now you're covering it again. And now they got people worked up into a frenzy. People sit there, watch the news, get so freaked out, so scared, they cannot even think about anything else than what's going on but riots and racism and the coronavirus. They forget to live their life, man. Go out and live your life. You only get one chance in life. If you get sick, battle it with everything you got.
But guess what? Life goes on. You cannot hide no more. Like, it's, you got to go on. You got to push on. It's ridiculous, man. My grandfather fought in World War II, the Battle of Iwo Jima. He come home, and life went on. Life went on. His brother fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He come home. Life went on. You gotta get over it. You gotta get, if you get sick, that sucks. Fight it. If you die, you know, I mean, God, just, you know, you gotta pray. Let's hope you don't get it. But man, I'm just so sick of everybody just freaking out and being paranoid to leave their house, to go on with their life. And it's just, man, it's just aggravating, man. Just like, I hear some people, they just act like they haven't left in months and they're not going to leave for 5 more years. It's just, when do we move on, you know?
No, I mean, I have to agree. I've never, nobody's ever dealt with anything like this before, unless you were alive during World War II in Europe, and that was only because you couldn't leave your house. But no, I mean, I think everybody was a little bit shaken the first few weeks, including myself. But at some point, you do have to try to put your toe in the water and figure out the best way to manage it. And the best way to manage it is just to be careful.
You do. And I mean, you need to wear, everybody wear a mask, everybody wash your hands and be safe, you know. And if you feel like you're better off at home, stay home. But everybody can't do that. I've not missed one day of work, thank God willing, because I know people that's been laid off and it's bad and people are struggling. And that's another thing. People need sports, man, to like lift their spirits and come together. Nothing brings people of every color together like sports. Let's come together, man. Let's have college football. Let's stop being worried. Stop living in fear. Let's all come together and let's have a good time in this one life we get to live. You know, I mean, if you get sick, fight it with all hell, you know, fight it with everything you got. Hopefully you won't get sick and maybe we'll get all, you know, all of us to get over this. But anyway, Paul, I got to go and I appreciate you.
Ramsey, thank you.
I've been listening to you for a long time. I really appreciate you, Paul.
I appreciate the call, and I really enjoy a call that makes all of us think, and like it or not, you got me thinking on that. Hey, thanks. We'll take a break. More to come as we continue here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. A lot to do in the final 2 hours and a couple of guests to come. Let's check in with Jason right now as we stay with the calls. Jason, thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm so sick of hearing numbers analysts and people from all over the country that have nothing but negative things to say when it comes to playing football and coronavirus. I mean, it does get me in a frenzy. Like your last caller just said, watching the news and hearing this, it puts me in a state of, I mean, and you, I'll say you don't help much. I mean, you, I don't know if you're paying attention to what they're saying and you just laugh it off or say, I can't agree with you more and let's get on to something next. But the reality is, how many athletes have you spoken to? How many people that
every
11 years old to get to this state of their life? What do you think their answer is going to be when they've sacrificed everything? And you want to get on the black community? This is what they, most of them, live for is athletics. They're so good at it. They're flawless. They invest their entire being in this part of their life, of the first step of taking a step towards a pro career that can pay the money that they've been after and that they've sought out their whole life. It's more than just money from the higher-ups, and everybody wants to throw Dabo and Saban, your other caller, under the bus because they make $10 million a year. I sell food for a living. You know what it's done to me? When no one shows up in Tuscaloosa to go to a game or be able to go anywhere or do anything, nobody talks about all the restaurants that have mall-and-paw places that are just gone. They've closed forever. They're never reopening. They've got barely enough in their retirement to last them probably 6-7 years. I see it every day. I go through it every day. and all these places that are just floating by right now because of the past years that they've been there, they've dipped into every bit that they have just to stay afloat in hopes that people will drive and show up and be around this environment. If it doesn't happen, there's going to be more than just no football, no athletes, no bars, no food, no economy, no money, no job for you, no job for any sports people when they can't talk about it or do it. How long do you want it to linger?
Well, the answer to your question, Jason, is I would like to see it over today. I agree with everything you've said, but the only thing that I would say back to you is that we're not making this decision, the two of us, and the people that are will have an extraordinarily difficult decision to make. And I'm as eager and as anxious as you are to see what they say.
Yeah, it is a difficult decision. The problem is too much has been compiled on the decision making. It's a make your career, break your career, kill a bunch of people type decision. I mean, that's the reason that nobody will say, hey, you know what? Only less than 2% of a college-age person is going to die from this. All you can do is talk about numbers and how dangerous it is for everybody else in us, you know, over 60-year-old coaches that are in there. Ask them. They're the ones that's going to die from it. They're the one that needs to be able to make a decision. Sign a waiver. You want to be in the mix? Sign a waiver. Take the chance. Live. Take the risk. I mean, it's not that hard. Because I'm telling you, I would be surprised if 2% of people that are in this will not sign a waiver to be able to play or take that risk.
No, listen, I could head down to Tuscaloosa right now, and I guarantee you the head coach there would say, let's play. I know that's how he feels.
Sure. I mean, it's how most of the athletes feel. I've
sure.
talked to a lot of them. I know them. They're not allowed to post anything about this because of how the backlash might reflect on them. It's a media smother. I'm just telling you, and I'm not blaming you or all of the media, but it has turned into a person cannot voice their opinion on what they want to do or how they would go about doing it based on the fact that they're going to be kicked in the face by these other people that they must not care about anybody.
Jason, who is telling these young people they can't express themselves?
I believe it would be the people in charge of their programs.
Okay.
That say, hey, you know what I mean? Don't you feel like that would be, look, it, you have classes, coaching classes that says, hey, you know, if you're strong opinion on this or this way or you feel this way about this, you know, advise you to keep that to yourself. I'm not telling you you can.
I mean, it didn't stop. Hold on a second, but it didn't stop Colin Hill from expressing his opinion that he wouldn't play football if they didn't take the flag down in Mississippi.
Yeah, it sure didn't. Who's going to go against him on that?
I saw Bo Nix tweet out the other day. Let's play football.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's play football.
No, but I'm just trying to understand who you're talking about, though.
How many do you see say, I'm not going to play football? Because
I haven't seen a single college football player say that.
Right. And I don't think you will. I don't think you will. I mean, they want to play. The kids want to play. They don't feel like they're at risk. They feel like they might run a high fever and get a little sick. And as long as they don't have an underlying condition that targets something within their body that even the flu would have the similar effect on something that's pre-existing condition. I mean, the facts are the facts.
Jason, have to run. I apologize. Thank you so much for the call. We'll be right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.